Hello, welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. My name is Phil Eales and I'm speaking to you today from Stockholm. And I'm very excited today to bring onto the show Harshal Patel and Evan Floden from Sakera Labs. Guys, do you want to say a quick hello?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. I'm Harshal Patel, Head of Scientific Development at Sakera Labs, long-term user of NextFlow and one of the core contributors to NF Core as well. So yeah, lovely to see you or meet you all. Thank you.
And I'm Evan Floden, the CEO, co-founder of Sakera Labs. I've been working on NextFlow with Paolo for coming out to 10 years now. So it's great to be back on the show and thanks a lot for the invite, Phil.
That's great to have you both. We've got a corker of an episode lined up today. This is the NextFlow podcast. Today we're branching out slightly and talking NextFlow ecosystem a little bit. We often talk about NF Core on the show. I'm going to start off with a quick bit of kind of history there and some cool stuff we've built from NF Core leading into Tower. And then Harshal, you're going to tell us a bit about some of the mad skills in automation that you guys use in your team at Sakera to sort of manage all the infrastructure around the NextFlow runs we do. Of course, we do a lot of NextFlow at Sakera. And then Evan, you're going to wrap up with some cool roadmap stuff, right, and tell us about some of the new things we can imagine we can start to see on the Sakera platform in the coming months. So let's kick off. One of my favorite kind of mini parts of the NF Core project that we've done is automated testing. So for those of you not familiar with NF Core, we have continuous integration tests, CI tests, which run on GitHub every time you push a commit or open a pull request, and they run on a tiny little data set. So we run a pipeline to make sure it doesn't fall over. And a few years ago, we got funding from AWS. They gave us a whole load of AWS credits to run automated tests on AWS. And what this lets us do is run with realistic data sets, because it's fine to run on 500 fast queue reads and we can see if the pipeline's got a syntax error, but it's nice to run on actual data sets of multiple gigabytes. Also lets us do things like benchmarking results between releases and stuff like this. And when we first set this up, this was a lot of work by Gisella, especially in the NF core team. And I'm just going to show you my screen for anyone watching with video. You can sort of see we had this GitHub Actions set up to kick it off. This is in the NF Core pipeline template from a while back now. And then we sort of get all the different secrets and all the different setup and stuff. And we end up with this AWS batch submit job thing. Now, she and I spent longer than I would like to admit working on this chunk of code at the bottom. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything like this. Now we've got a multi-line YAML string with a command line flag that has a string with single quotes. Within those single quotes, we have a JSON object using double quotes. And within all of that, we have GitHub environment. Oh my, this drove me crazy, man. but it worked. It worked. But we matured over time. And then this guy, Evan, who seemed to know about NextFlow, came along and said, we've got a new tool called NextFlow Tower. And maybe, and of course, you could use this to manage the AWS infrastructure, right? It still took us some while. We started monitoring for a bit using the same setup. But then the thing I kind of want to talk about, and I'm getting my long-winded route to get to, is the command line interface to Tower. So, Harshal, you're going to tell us a bit more about this, but I'll finish up by just sort of showing the what we do now. We created a new GitHub action for NF Core called Tower Action, which was basically the same thing, but instead of doing an AWS batch submit job, we now have a Tower command line where we say TW launch, and Tower does all the AWS batch stuff for us, basically. Also now Azure. Maybe one day Google, we never know, see. we can delegate all of that complexity then out of the stuff that's in GitHub, which is really nice, and we've got much more flexibility here. And now actually, because this was not really, people were starting to use this well outside of NF Core, so we've moved this now into a Sakera repository called Sakera Labs Action Tower Launch, so it can be something that's officially supported by the company alongside the Tower product.
I think that coverage that you have in terms of NF Core of the full tests is it's certainly impressive. There was a paper, I can share a link, that came out last month, which was looking at trying to look at the automatic reproduction of workflows. And it looks at the state bake workflow catalog as well as the NF Core registry, and just sort of looks how easy is it to basically take those pipelines and sort of run them with a test data set in the cloud. Do we have a kind of feeling of where we're at in terms of NF Core, in terms of the kind of full test coverage across the different platforms?
Harsha, you're probably better placed to answer this than me, I think.
Yeah, so it varies. Some pipelines are better supported. So actually part of the hackathon in March at Google, that was part of what our team was trying to tackle. And so we came up with this action that essentially uses, again, the Tower CLI on the back end, and then goes and launches a full-size test on Azure, GCP, and Amazon all at the same time on release. And that's pretty neat, because you do this when you release the pipeline, you know exactly where it's working and how it's working. I mean, we're still waiting on GCP credits, but we're lucky enough to have Azure and AWS ones to be able to do this sort of stuff. So at the moment, it's sort of in the rollout type phase, I would say. It's not quite in all NF Core pipelines yet, but that's the plan.
And I think there's a big value of community there in the sense of just the testing which gets done. A lot of this stuff is the pipelines which have been battle tested, things like RNA-seq for a long time, they're just kind of like so solid as when it comes to that. As these pipelines get developed, and there is always like kind of small things which need to be fixed. And I think the value of the testing there is really sort of shines through a lot.
It's a great example also of what I love about working within NF Core, where we've got a few of us who have like set up the infrastructure, like we've done all the back end stuff. So if you're a pipeline developer, you roll up, you make sure your pipeline works, and you just click a button or you just do a release, and all that testing stuff happens. We've done the credits, we've done the infrastructure. It's really nice. And you find stuff all the time. You thought your pipeline was like, you know, rock solid, and on some obscure like Azure configuration, there's something wrong. Yeah, it's cool, mate. And this has been hackathon driven as well, but this started off at the Francis Crick hackathon in 2020, I think. That's when we laid down, we had some guys visiting from AWS, and I remember sitting with a whiteboard and trying to figure out how all this was going to sit together. That was good times.
Yeah, it's evolved quite a lot since then.
yeah, you could say that. So how are you using, Harshal, tell us a little bit about your team at Secure, and how are you using this, and what do you do?
So I think maybe on the note of if I can share my screen, on the note of those actions that we're just talking about. So this is the RNA-seq pipeline, NF Core RNA-seq pipeline. And this is actually the stuff that we tackled at the DAST hackathon at Google. And so now you're able to submit on release full size tests on all of these different cloud providers via a GitHub action. And this, as I said, is using the Tower CLI on the back end. And the Tower CLI is absolutely awesome. For our team interacts with Tower on a daily basis on various fronts. We're battle testing it. We're running pipelines on it. We're making suggestions to the product team and so on in terms of improvements and stuff. But just to give you sort of an overview, if you're logged into Tower, then you would see a user interface like this, where you have an organization, which in our case is Secure Labs, and a showcase workspace that we've created. Each workspace, you can have different sets of pipelines, different sets of users, different sets of compute environments hooked in. You can, of course, create these via the user interface, but it's much nicer to automate this sort of stuff. And actually, this is where Tower is very different, in that you can, if you want, use a UI to do your analysis. But you also have an API and a CLI accessible to you to hook into Tower to do a lot of this automation. And so this entire showcase workspace that you can see here, where we've got a variety of NF Core pipelines that are hooked into different compute environments, which again is one of the strengths of Nextflow, and that it can run virtually anywhere as well as Tower now. All of this entire showcase was created. Sorry, after you, Phil.
That's right. I was just going to say, I think there's something I really like, because I mean, it's sort of like a running joke about graphical interfaces for bioinformatics and no code platforms now. But like, I mean, we're all bioinformaticians before we did anything else. And many people listening to this will be, you know, pretty experienced bioinformaticians and are not scared of a command line. And when you're used to using a command line, then using a graphical interface can be really frustrating. Because you're like, I don't want to have to click around this. And like, I want to just be able to run it across 100 pipelines, or I want to be able to version control what I'm doing. So if I make a mistake, I can just roll back and like, you know, go back to how it was before. And you can't do that in a graphical interface, not easily.
And my preference for these as well is almost to have that graphical interface to doing it once. And then as you need to automate it, or as you need to do it reproducibly, being able to export that. And I think Harsh was going to hopefully sort of share some of that later on, but that combination of using the UI for monitoring, for kind of being able to just kind of basic functionality, but then as soon as you need to scale up or automate or do things reproducibly, you can kind of switch to a CLI. It seems to me it's like a really kind of good combination.
Sorry, and final thing about the CLI, the pure CLI as well, is that it's got a lot of anyone who's used to using Nextflow on the command line will feel pretty familiar using the Tower command line as well. And if you're used to doing Nextflow run, now you just do TW launch instead. And it does exactly the same stuff, but instead of running Nextflow on your laptop, it runs Nextflow in Tower. So it's a very easy, it's not a big learning curve to go from Nextflow to the Tower CLI. Sorry, Harshal.
That's okay. Yeah, so I completely agree. It's also one of the things is that you can forget what you've done when you click a bunch of buttons, right? You can do that quite easily in the UI and not know what you've clicked and how you've done it. And so the CLI, as Evan mentioned, allows you to essentially export out entities that you would be using in Tower. And so, for example, this pipeline that I've got rendered in the user interface is essentially just a JSON file that you can see here. And that's how that file can then be imported back into Tower. And so you can then imagine a situation where you can quite easily create these resources in Tower just by running a standard script. So for example, here, there's a scripts directory where I'm just using at the basic level, a Tower CLI command to import or export a pipeline or a compute environment and so on. But adding or taking that to another level now, what our team have been working on is attempting to sort of do something a bit more flexible and a bit more usable by hooking again into the Tower CLI on the back end.
That's just before you move on, those JSON files, you write them manually, or this is a genuine question, I don't know the answer to this. You showed a JSON file with the RNA-seq pipeline set up. Is that something how do you know how to write that?
You don't. So with the Tower CLI, there's an option to export them. And so with the Tower CLI, there's a Tower pipelines export command. And then if you provide the name of your workspace and the name of your pipeline, then what that will do is that will automatically dump a JSON for you. And then you can store that somewhere for version control, infrastructure as code, and then import that back as well if you want in the future to create the same pipeline or maybe edit that and create a different pipeline. You can do a similar thing with compute environments as well.
So I think you said that, but I missed it, the subtlety. So you can use the niceties of a graphical interface, then export what you've done to have the best of both worlds. That's cool. Sorry, yeah, carry on. You were about to move on to something else.
Yeah, so that's it. So here you can see I've got an export script that exports the pipelines first, and then I've got another one that imports them via that JSON file that I just showed you. Moving on maybe to another level, what our team have been developing is this Python wrapper script for the Tower CLI, and it's really cool in that it allows you to do a number of things. And so now you can hook into the Tower CLI via Python, which is really nice. A lot of people use Python, and so what this wrapper script allows you to do is not only sort of get the CLI functionality via Python, but it also allows you to create simple YAML files like this that identify exactly how you would like to create entities in Tower. So this is just a simple definition of an organization you'd like to create on Tower. Similarly, you may want to add some some teams to that particular tower organization. You may want to add a workspace with a particular name.
Can you just zoom in a bit on that? We're looking, anyone who's listening to this without video, we're sort of looking at the showcase repo here and a YAML file with all these configs. Don't worry if you want to check this out yourself. These are all public repositories, and we'll put the links in the show notes so you can check it out on the website. But yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yep. So this allows you to create all of the entities that you want to run and use on Tower via a simple YAML configuration. And it's a much more powerful way of encoding all of this information. You just edit this YAML file, and then you can rerun this PyWrap script, and it will go away and create all of these entities on Tower. And lastly, as I mentioned, you can also import the functionality that I've showed you in this Python package and customize it however you want to then create these Tower entities for your own use case as well. So it's completely flexible in the way that you do it. You don't necessarily have to go via YAML route. You can import this functionality and use it however you want.
A lot of people in the community love a bit of Python. They're going to be happy to see this, like import Tower to Python. It's some nice stuff. And that's going to be great, especially this kind of script. Like in my previous job, we had Python integrations, which would tie into our LIMS system, for example, and stuff like that, and be pulling in different information from custom places all over the place. So being able to actually manipulate all that in a Python script is super powerful. Cool. All right. And that was TW Wrapper. No, I got it wrong.
TW PyWrap.
Yeah. Nice. That'll be in the show notes. And that is brand new. When did you write this? This was like a couple of days old or something.
Yeah, we literally got it working end to end from last Thursday, actually, when I was in Barcelona visiting the team. So, yeah, it's mostly Isha's work in my team. She's done an awesome job. She's just sat down and written it. And now we've ended up with something that we're going to be using all the time for our automation on Tower.
Amazing.
And hopefully is more widely adopted by others as well.
Happy days. I was in the warm up, but just before we started recording, we were talking a bit about the CLI and how it works. And I think, again, we probably mentioned this, but it's worth really pushing home that we've got three different layers here, right? We've got a command line tool with the Tower CLI. We've got now a Python library to interact with that and do loads of stuff automatically. But also all of this is built on top of the API of Tower, and that itself is also open and anyone can use it. And yeah, here you go. You've got the Swagger docs here. Every single endpoint within Tower, if you're using Tower, you can pull all of that together yourself. So yeah, it's a pretty extensible platform. All right. Anything more to add on this topic, gents? Or
yeah, it's super impressive. Yeah.
Evan, we've been hogging the limelight so far, but let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you wanted to talk to us with today.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of speaking of limelight, I don't want to steal too much thunder from the Nextflow Summit, which we've just recently announced. So that's going to be taking place both in Barcelona and in Boston this year. Typically there we are announcing many new features, but I thought it'd be nice just to kind of showcase a couple features that we have more recently that we'll obviously be building on in the summit. The first of it is really kind of relating to what we kind of think about pipelines. And to give you a little bit of history here, the pipeline, when we think about it, sometimes when we talk about it in NF Core or in the kind of workflow itself, it's typically a repository, like a Git repository with all of the Nextflow code in it. And while in most cases that's kind of enough to be able to run reproducibly, we saw the example before with sort of Phil showing the sort of profile test. Often it doesn't contain absolutely everything. It doesn't contain the information, for example, to set up the infrastructure. It doesn't maybe necessarily contain like exactly what you would need to do to run this in your own environment. And that's really where the concept of a Tower pipeline comes in. It captures both the workflow repository that you have, plus the computer environment, plus some specific parameters that you want. So it's a kind of just the, you can think of it as a little bit like an encapsulation of the workflow. We wanted to make that concept a little bit more clear to folks. And if we share a screen here, we'll kind of see what this looks like in terms of Tower. So Harsh will share before the the different pipelines. We've got a couple of different views on these now. And now you can kind of jump into this detailed view that we have, which kind of highlights a little bit more exactly of what the pipeline is made up of. So you can see here it has a name, a description, the actual workflow repository that you use, the revision labels. And again, you see it here now, it's kind of tied to some compute environment. We're expanding this concept out. And now there's essentially a link between the runs that you have in a pipeline. And as we build this out, we'll add more and more kind of detail and more kind of, information and metadata to the pipeline so that it can be a lot more useful in the way that it runs. There's a new functionality as well with kind of thinking about the flow. Often it's not necessarily we're always going from a pipeline to a run. There's often many different times when you're testing something out, you're iterating, you're changing a parameter. And really from that kind of getting that right, we sort of realize that we can now go from a run, maybe once you finally get it working, then you can essentially kind of save this now as a pipeline. So it kind of allows this iteration for you to run through and get to there as well. Small little things, but hopefully should fix the fix some of the usability.
That last one had passed me by. That was new to me. That's nice. I mean, previous episodes we've talked about improving provenance, right? That's the concept of kind of really recording everything that a pipeline did. And this is sort of a general theme again amongst much of what we do, I guess. We've got Nextflow. Nextflow is this icon of reproducibility within our field, and we're sort of expanding that bubble all the time. Like, how much more can we record? How much more reproducible can we make this? How much more can we describe? It's cool to see this come together.
Yeah, so that's exactly what Hashul was showing before with the using the CLI to really create your whole research environment in this way, where everything is really controlled and measured, version controlled in this way. One thing that we often, in some ways, conveniently forget, though, is the actual data itself. And previously, we've had some work where we've had data sets, which I'll kind of show you the evolution of in a moment. One thing that we've added more recently, and really coming from user feedback, is the ability to interact with data sources themselves in the same way that they can interact with compute. One of the real kind of product principles that we have is around this integration and this flexibility, tying in with whatever users already have, whether that's their own cloud environments, their source GitHub repositories, for example, or whatever Git services they use. We wanted to kind of take that principle as well and kind of apply it to how we think about data. So we now have, which has come out into our cloud, just coming out at the moment, which is the Data Explorer. Inside the Data Explorer, it will automatically add any buckets that are available. So this is across the different cloud providers. You can see that we have AWS, we've got Google here as well as Azure buckets. I can, for example, find a bucket by its name. So I'm just going to search for GATK. I have some data inside of here. It's popping up with a bucket that's available to me. And then I can search inside of that bucket. And in here, you can see the location of these FASTQ files. I have some results. I can even jump into a particular working directory and browse from here. This is really just the kind of the first stage of what we're doing with regards to the sort of data integration. As we're adding this in, now we're adding the ability to, for example, select files that exist when you're launching a pipeline, so you can sort of browse. You can also sort of browse results and see that information as they come out from the end of a pipeline. And really a whole bunch of sort of really interesting, exciting things that we can do now that we have sort of a concept of a data and a data source as part of those workflows as well.
This is so cool to see. I mean, like, we were talking about AWS megasets earlier. Like, there's a few of us, especially my main experience of doing this is with the megasets and stuff. And you, even after Towers, like, yeah, you can run the pipeline there, you can launch it, you can monitor it. And then when it's finished, yeah, no, now I need to go off to like the AWS console, or I need to like dig out that like IAM password or sort of sync everything locally so I can start actually digging through these files to figure out what's happened.
Yeah, that's one of the main value propositions here is like we don't think that every person needs to go into the console every time that they want to interact with something like this. The trade-off to that, though, is that we still want to be using the actual cloud primitives that people are familiar with. So we want to give you that kind of all of the niceties that come around with having a nice UI, with having the ability to simply click across different storage buckets, but at the same time, not having to kind of deal with a lot of the complexity that typically comes along with that.
And yeah, so and to clarify, then none of this data is being stored in Tower, right? This is still like my cloud account, my data.
Absolutely.
In my place.
Yeah, this is just all being driven from the credentials as well. So credentials are typically associated with a computer environment. When you set them up, it will automatically then use those credentials that, if they have the right permissions, to be able to view whatever buckets that there is here and use that information. One thing that's also very, I guess, like to consider for the future is often we see folks who are thinking about the cloud and they want to say, like, you really want to be careful about where your data actually is. The kind of gravity of the data is very important here. You can see that we can actually track the region of the locations of those buckets. And what we are trying to do with Tower is that you create computer environments where your data is. So it's very much around moving the computer environment or moving the workload, in this case, a pipeline, to where that data is and being able to have a visualization, a view of that, so that you don't really end up say, moving all this data around and having really sort of significant costs that they don't need to be. And we, of course, with the ability to create computer environments, it's really a couple of clicks away that's can help a lot here as well.
It is, go on, Harsha, I was about to say something, but
where this would be, where it's really going to be a game changer also is maybe linking from the runs page directly through to Data Explorers, where you've got a work directory or a result that you can see quite clearly as you've been running the pipeline is there, and then just linking straight through to that and saying, okay, well, I need to go and look at this this particular task directory, or I need to look at this result, and you can link directly there from the runs page, and that's going to be really powerful. Again, as you guys mentioned, you know, it means you don't have to log into a console. You don't have to do all these things. It will make the whole sort of whole process of using Tower a lot easier to have access to this data via this user interface.
I mean, we added the feature, the reports feature, right? Recently, so that's been there a little while now. Where if you do a run in Tower, you can click the reports tab and you can view your multi-QC file and stuff. But that depends on the pipeline developer setting up which files they think is most interesting for you, and that might not be the same as you as an end user, especially if you didn't write this pipeline yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the reports, for example. If I wanted to jump in to see a multi-QC report, by any chance, I would be able to select that, and again, it's pointing to the original location of those files. And yeah, so echoing what Harshal said, this is going to help debugging a lot. It's going to make it much easier and kind of provide this kind of seamless experience across both the data, the execution, the results as well. So that's kind of one thing that we've been working on. Another kind of exciting piece is thinking a little bit more on the kind of versioning of the data and how we can connect these two things together. One concept that we have is data sets, which we've had around for a little while. We're now kind of trying to evolve that into a way which makes a little bit more sense now that we have a data explorer. The concept of a data set is it's almost like a versioned input or pipeline. The typical examples that we have here are sample sheets. So here's a sample sheet that we have. So the NF Core folks have done a really good job of specifying exactly what those inputs are for each pipeline, so defining what the columns are that are used. And if we consider here the SRA Explorer, which is something which is Phil has previously worked on, provides a really nice idea of how we can use this in the future to build those pieces. So here I'm going to search for some human liver microRNA on the SRA. I can select those files. In this case, I'm just selecting some samples themselves. I'm creating a collection, which essentially I can check out, and I can use that collection. And within inside a data set now, I can export that into Tower itself by just using the metadata. In this case, it's a TSV file. But important to note, the titles or the headings of each of those columns in that file could then be used to kind of match up with the pipeline itself. So when I basically go back and add this data set into Tower, you can drag and drop this in here, and you'll notice that there is the samples along the rows here, and you have the column titles, which can then be used to match up exactly what's been used in the pipeline itself. And this is really kind of the direction that we're looking to take this, with the idea of being able to link in for any data source in itself with the input of a pipeline, version control that, track that all the way through the execution in terms of provenance, and then kind of really kind of close the circle on that. So that's kind of just some of the more recent updates that we have from Tower. Obviously, still a lot of evolution going on, and so really excited to get some of this new stuff into users' hands over the next few weeks and months, and also sort of building towards some big announcements for Nextflow Summit.
Yeah, but the data. I love this demo of data sets showing SRA. It's like, I think it's a great example of how this kind of confluence of all these different sort of parallel threads. Like, I mean, SRA Explorer, I wrote that like as a little hobby project years ago, and I have no intention of it ever being anything used like this. It was just me being frustrated. It was difficult to get some URLs to download FASTQ files. But like, you know, that's sort of sitting over there. And then a few episodes ago in the podcast, we had Julia Matthias on from NFCore, and we spent a whole episode talking about schema and sample sheet schema and Nextflow schema for parameters and all this stuff. And that was kind of another separate project. And then, you know, we've got the dataset browser of S3 and like over buckets and all that kind of stuff. And all these different things, you build enough of these foundational blocks and you can start to like really build really nice things on top of them. I think it's super cool.
And I think the ideas themselves as well, which has been, you know, really great. Just the exchange of ideas of kind of building things very much in the open and being able to very quickly iterate on that just helps us a lot in terms of thinking about roadmap and what we see users needing.
I think getting we talked about getting data out of S3 or out of cloud providers when you've finished your run, but obviously the start of the run is the other place where you see that. If you've got to make your CSV sample sheet file, and then you've got to go and upload that somewhere. We've had data sets for a while. This feels like kind of a supercharged data sets basically. Excited to see where we can take this. All right. Let's wrap up. I've got a couple of usual topics, unless you guys want to, have we missed anything? You happy? So we normally talk a little bit about new content and stuff. Now, because of the summer, we're recording this fairly early, so I'm not sure it's a bit irrelevant for me to talk about fresh content, because what's fresh right now will not be fresh in a couple of months. So check out the Nextflow blog. We've got a bunch of stuff planned, which I can't show you yet, but will hopefully be viewable by the time you watch this. And in terms of upcoming events, most stuff is all the bite-sized talks and things that have paused over the summer, but the big one, of course, Evan mentioned it already, is the summit. So just to recap, we've got Barcelona and Boston, two separate events at two different times here. October in Barcelona, and the same place as last year, the Torglores Tower, fantastic iconic tower in the middle of Barcelona. And then for the first time coming to the States in November to coming to see Boston. It shows if you ask for something enough times, good things can happen. That many people asking us, please come to the US, have an event in the US. So super excited to see that happen. Yeah, really, just really sort of excited to see what talks come in. It's a real good way to get like a pulse on a community, and see what people are excited about and see what's new.
Yeah. And we were kind of blown away last year just in terms of the ecosystem, the amount of talks which were coming in from sequencing providers, from cloud providers, from customers, from users, like just the kind of the variety was really kind of like eye-opening in terms of all the amazing things people are doing in the community. I think that kind of gave us a lot of ideas and hopefully to participants as well, just kind of getting those ideas of what's possible. It's a great place to share all that.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I've got like a love-hate relationship with one of the next tasks we have to do, which is building the program. Because like every talk that came in last year, I'm like, ah. There wasn't very many people. We ended up like shortening a lot of the talk slots and like messing around in the program just to try and fit as many talks in as possible, because they were all so good. So yeah, I'm pumped to see what people come up with this year. It's going to be good. And obviously the in-person experience is unmissable. It's fantastic. You know, you can't really beat joining us all sitting in a room doing a hackathon and rubbing shoulders and, you know, getting coffee with people. But if it's impossible, it's not always possible to travel and take time away. The Barcelona event will be live streamed. So it's going to be freely available to join online, both the hackathon and the summit talks. Boston is not. Boston's just going to be in person, at least for now. But the Barcelona is all going to be online. Cool. Are you going to give a talk, Harshal?
Possibly. Maybe automation. I don't know. Is there a theme yet?
I don't know. You have to ask Evan. good stuff. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you, everyone who's listening, for tuning in, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Thank you.